Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. And then when you get your place there, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. I'm going to go through it three times tonight. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, 10. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, 10. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, 10. What a precious verse that is for us. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, I just thank you so much for this evening, Father, and just the opportunity we have to meet your house and to sing these great praises to you, Father. I just thank you for your love and your mercy, Father. I just pray that you would just meet with us tonight, Father. Yes. It's special.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 17, Genesis 17 and verse 1. Looking tonight at the question, Abraham's bosom and Old Testament saints. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of what? Many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make what? Nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Well, this is Father's Day, and a man wrote in this question, Abraham's bosom, Old Testament saints, question mark. Where are they? So in regard to, well, God made Abraham a father of many nations, not just Israel. We'll see in just a moment. But who are really the spiritual children of Abraham? Not just fleshly, but the spiritual children. Well, let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. I guess I sang my voice out tonight. So one of you guys, if you got a message in your pocket, Galatians 3 and verse 6. Galatians 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, even as Abraham, what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of what? Faith. The same are the what?
Children
of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of what? Of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So the true spiritual children of Abraham are those with faith in Christ. And so that would include us too. Notice also in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans 4, 16. The Bible says, therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be what? Sure to all who? The seed. So I'll repeat that again. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Who is the what? The father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as what? As though they were. That's important, that phrase. So he calleth those things which be not as though they were. They are that sure. Remember in verse 16, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end. The promise might be what? Sure. The promise might be sure. So now let's go to the Abraham's bosom passage. Luke 16. Luke 16. What is this man's question? Luke 16. And verse 19, Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels where? Into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And where? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus where? In his bosom. So the whole question rests upon promises. So there are these people who say, who believe that Abraham's bosom is a different place than heaven. I'm saying they believe that, not me, they. They believe that Abraham's bosom is a different place than heaven because they think anyone before Jesus died on the cross could not actually go to heaven until he died on the cross. So they're saying that there was some intermediate place, and most of them say that it was in the center of the earth. So they try to say that, you know, the rich man was looking over, but it said he lift up his eyes, not over. So they say these people say there was two compartments in the center of the earth. There were the lost suffering the torments of hellfire, and there were the saved in that intermediate place waiting to go to heaven until Jesus actually died on the cross. Now, you would never come up with that scenario by just reading the Bible and believing it. You would never come up with that. I don't know who first came up with that idea. But anyway, there's a number of people that actually believe it now. So the idea that there's an intermediate place is foreign to the scriptures. Now, God ordained, as we're going to see, before the foundation of the world, that his son would die for our sins. Now, how sure was that promise? We're going to look at that fact. But Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. And verse 8. Revelation 13, 8. The Bible says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb, what? Slain from when? The foundation of the world. So the Bible refers now, the people that it's talking about here are the people that are going to be worshiping the Antichrist because their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. But the part I want you to notice there is that it refers to the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, being slain from when? The foundation of the world. God's promises are sure. And so it was as sure as done. So these people are actually saying that God's promise, he said the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. They're saying that promise was not good enough to get anyone into heaven before Jesus actually died on the cross. Now, then that would mean that all Old Testament saints, none of them could actually go to heaven until Jesus died on the cross, including John the Baptist. John the Baptist died before Jesus. That would mean he wouldn't have gone to heaven yet. And as I said, that is a man-made idea. So if you're going to say that no one can actually go to heaven before Jesus died on the cross, you're going to have to say, well, then those people's sins were not really forgiven. And how can you call them saints? How can you do that? Aaron was referred to as a saint. How could he be called a saint? How could his sins really be forgiven if the promise is not that sure? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Before I read it, I want you to think about something. So, if you're going to say that no person in history could go to heaven, actually go to heaven before Jesus died on the cross, because sin was not actually paid for until that moment, what does the Bible teach us about people who die whose sins are not paid for at death? Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. So if you're going to say they can't go to heaven yet because Jesus hasn't died, then how can you say they are saved? You can't. You can't say they're truly saved with that line of thinking. So according to Hebrews 9:27, where would they all have had to go to wait? To hell. Hebrews 9:27. If their sins are not forgiven, if they are not worthy to go to heaven, then according to the Bible, they have to go to hell. Are you seeing how bad that doctrine is then, that idea? So my question to those people is who believe that Abraham's bosom is different than heaven. My question to them is this. Is God's promise, is God's word more unsure than man's word? Is it less trustworthy? When God makes a promise, is it less trustworthy than man's promises? Notice in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus 1:2 says, and hope of what? Eternal life, which God that what? Cannot lie, did what? Promise. When did he promise it? Before the world began. He promised eternal life before the world began because of his son slain before the foundation of the world. The promise of it. So, before the world began. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever gone to the grocery store and paid for your groceries with a check? Well, many of us have done that. I used to do that until they would just run it through the machine and hand it right back to me. And I thought, well, I'm not going to keep paying for checks if they're just going to hand it right back to me. So I stopped doing that. But so if you paid for your groceries with a check, have any of you ever had the grocery store say, okay, now I'll take your cart of food and we'll put that in storage, cool storage if need be, until we get the actual cash from your check. So you go to the grocery store, you get all your groceries in the cart, and you write them a check, and they say, Okay, well, this isn't real cash. You know, a check is a promissory note. It's a promise that you actually have that money in the bank. So if they operated that way, okay, I write my check, okay, I'll take your car to groceries. When we get the actual cash, we'll call you, and you can come in and get your food. Has anyone ever had that happen? No, no. So you walk away with food that you can eat based on what? A promise. They give you food based upon a promise. And actually, credit cards are actually a promise too. It's just a little more verification because they actually, when you swipe your card, they actually, you know, are verifying, you know, that it's okay. So it's actually the credit card company that has a deal with you at that point. But so you walk away with food. Now, the same with a car. If you were to go to a dealership, and sometimes there's not too many cars there anymore, amazingly. But if you go to a dealership and find a car that you like, and you wrote a check for it, you know, they would love for you to drive away in that car. So they are just taking a piece of paper. They don't have real cash. That's just a promise. And you can drive away in that car based upon your promise that you actually have that money. So my question to these people is this. Okay, so man's word, I can write a check and they'll believe me that I have that much money in the bank. And they'll give me something. Are you going to tell me, I'm saying to this group, are you going to tell me that man's word is more trustworthy than God's? God promised. It was sure before the foundation of the world that Christ would come and give his blood for our sins. Are you going to tell me that God's promise is less sure? Are you going to tell me that I can't by faith receive Jesus Christ if he's not yet died on the cross? That God's promise is not sure enough? That I cannot walk away with salvation after coming to him by faith? Well, that's a foolish thing to think, isn't it? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. The Bible says, for as much as what? You know. You know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before what?
The foundation of the world,
but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do what? Do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that ye have what? Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. It talks about having purified souls. How could that be? Well, because verse 20, it was ordained before the foundation of the world that he would what? Verse 19, that he would give his blood for our sins. Notice with me also in Hebrews 9, what we're talking about is God's sure promises. People, man promises something. Goods are delivered based upon the promise. Cannot God deliver the goods? Cannot God deliver salvation based upon his promise? When God promised that his son was going to die on the cross, as we'll continue to see here, it was as sure as done. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since when? The foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it talks once again in verse 26 about the foundation of the world. And notice this one in Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4 and verse 1. So we're talking about God made this promise. He ordained us before the foundation of the world that his son, he would give his son to die for our sins. Hebrews 4, 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although what? The works were finished from when?
The foundation of the world.
God says the works. The work of Christ was finished from the foundation of the world. He made a promise. It was as good as done. No doubt about it. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Well, then, that's before any of mankind was even created. Look in Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 17. Acts 15, 17. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are what? All his works. We're referring back to Christ from verse 17. Known unto God are all his works from when?
The beginning of the world.
God ordained this. He made this promise. It was as sure as finished. It said that in Hebrews 4, 3. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, verse 18 here in Acts, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So when Cain killed Abel, where did Abel go? To heaven. Before the foundation of the world, God made ordained this, that he would give his son to die for man. Abel did not have to go to the center of the earth and await until Jesus died on the cross. God's promise sure, and he could go to heaven. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8, verse 11. When God says something, it is as sure as done. There's no doubt whatsoever to it. Matthew 8, 11. Now notice that in this verse that Jesus had not yet died when he made this statement about Abraham, Matthew 8, 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with who? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where?
In the kingdom of heaven.
In the kingdom of heaven. Jesus made this statement before he died on the cross. They'd come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So, why would Jesus make that statement if Abraham was not in heaven? Why didn't he say, well, you know, all these people from all the different directions. You know, could come and sit down with Abraham in the center of the earth, or just say Abraham's bosom. Now, furthermore, if they're going to take it so far as to say that no one could actually go to heaven based upon God's promise that he would send his son to die for us, if that was not sure enough, then as I already mentioned, how could anyone truly be saved until Jesus died on the cross then? Because all along it was by faith looking ahead. How could anyone actually be saved then before Jesus died on the cross? Notice in John chapter 1. We already read several verses that Abraham had faith. He believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So if people could not actually go to heaven before Jesus died on the cross, then how could anyone actually become a child of God before Jesus died on the cross? If you're going to say no one was worthy, well, you can't go to heaven because Jesus hasn't actually died on the cross, so you've got to wait in this other area. You're saying, how can you say they're really the children of God? Well, you can't. Notice with me, how could I be a child of God and not be worthy to go to heaven? That's the bottom line here. How could any of these people actually be children of God and not be allowed to into heaven because they're not worthy yet, because Jesus hasn't died on the cross? Notice in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says, "For he hath made him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made," what? "The righteousness of God in him." The moment that we place our faith in Jesus Christ, and remember, we already saw that we are the children of Abraham by faith. We are the children. We are not the children of Abraham by bloodline. We are the children of Abraham by faith. We just read that. Okay, so Abraham is a child of God by faith. By faith in what? In the Messiah to come, the one who would give his blood. It was pictured for him as God told him to offer his son, his only begotten son. Offer him, Isaac. And he offered him in Hebrews 11. He offered him in a figure and received him in a figure raised from the dead, because when he drew back that knife, Isaac was as good as dead in his eyes, but God spared Isaac. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If Abraham by faith believed God and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. You can't say that, and at the same time, Abraham was not worthy to go to heaven. God has imputed righteousness to him based upon his faith. So if you're made the righteousness of Jesus Christ, how can you not be worthy of heaven? Look at this verse. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." How can you not be worthy of heaven and having the righteousness of Christ upon you? Notice also with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Well, let's start in verse 23. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by what?
His grace.
Through the redemption that is in who?
Christ Jesus.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through what?
Faith.
Faith in what?
His blood.
Could they not in the Old Testament have faith in his blood? The whole sacrificial system, as we've pointed out, when God had to kill animals to clothe Adam and Eve with animal skins, Adam and Eve would have never seen animals killed before because animals didn't kill other animals at that point. God specifically said the green herbs would be for animals to eat, and God specifically said that man also would eat green herbs. So there were no animals killed until God had to kill those animals and shed that blood for Adam and Eve's sin. Now, it says here, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, verse 25. They could have faith in his blood, future, just like we can have faith in his blood, past tense. Have we seen Christ? No. We haven't seen him, but we love him. The scriptures make that clear. We haven't seen him yet, but we have faith in his blood. They had faith in his blood that would be shed. It was the promise of God, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare what? His righteousness for the remission of sins, and here it is, that are what?
Past.
Notice it says to declare his righteousness for the what?
Remission of sins.
Remission is forgiveness. Remission is forgiveness. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what?
Past.
Through what?
The forbearance
of God. This, what does it mean, through the forbearance of God? Because this was the promise of God. This was as sure as was done, known unto him are all his works from the beginning of the world. And the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If man can hand you a check, and you actually give him the goods, whatever it is, are you going to say that man's word is more trustworthy than God's? God said before the foundation of the world he would give his son to pay for our sins. Is that not good enough to cash in and go to heaven? Are we going to say God's word is less sure than man's? Of course not. We'd never say that. The Bible is very clear here. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which what?
Believeth
in Jesus. So I hope this is clear in your mind. I don't know if you've ever run across this idea, but it's in quite a few books out there. This idea that no one could go to heaven, actually go to heaven, until Jesus actually died on the cross. And I hope you've seen the verses here. God foreordained us. It was as sure as done. They exercised their faith in the blood of Christ, as we just read, before he actually gave it, just like we exercise our faith in his blood after he actually gave it. And it was as sure as God's promises. And God's promises are always sure. So I hope this is clear in your mind. from Abel right on, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ and his blood, all of those people. In closing, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:8. It's always been the same. 2 Corinthians 5:8. The Bible says, well, let's go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk what? By faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. So I pray this is clear in your minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord. Your promises are sure. Lord, we are puzzled that by what people come up with in their doctrine, because such a thing would make your promises less sure than man's promises. And man's promises are not really sure at all. So, Father, we thank you. As we think about Father's Day, and we think about you, our Heavenly Father, that before you even created man, you foreordained that you were willing to give your Son to die in our place. You were willing to suffer the pain and the anguish of death because you knew that if you created man with a free will, man would fall into sin and need redemption. And I pray, Father, that you would help us today as fathers, that we would have such a sacrificial heart as well for our families and for our children, that we would be willing to give ourselves and to give of ourselves for them. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to apply it. That whether fathers or not tonight, may we be willing to do your will. May we be living sacrifices for you. And Lord, we thank you for the abundant life that you give us in return, the joy that you give us. So, Father, help us this week to go forth in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn.